In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For holy art thou, O our God, and thou restest in the saints, and unto thee do we send of glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. I suppose that is my favorite exclamation of Matins. There's one like it in liturgy. I started to say the Matins one. It's the one in liturgy is slightly shorter. It said just before the Gospel in Matins, just as the shorter one is said just before the Gospel in liturgy. And it really fully describes the process of becoming, well, not the process, but the end result of becoming a saint. So we are celebrating our patron, Saint Nicholas, holy beyond our understanding. And truly, the Lord rested in him because he was an open vessel that held the Holy Spirit. The same amount of the Holy Spirit is around us because the Holy Spirit isn't divided. And yet we don't have that grace because we don't live as St. Nicholas lived, with his humility, with his prayer, his fasting, with his compassion, with his righteous anger. We have lots of anger, but not righteous anger. With his courage. He's an amazingly courageous saint. He did things that would have gotten you and I killed. But he had such wisdom, such courage, such sanctity that people wouldn't go against him. Even mighty people with weapons. Truly, the Lord rests in his saints. And this is what we are celebrating as much as our Holy Father Nicholas today. Because Nicholas doesn't want attention on him. He only wants attention on the one whom he loves, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord truly can rest in us. He can abide in us and sanctify us. And we see the result in Nicholas and all the rest of the saints. Certainly the stories about St. Nicholas are particularly rich. Saving sailors and saving people from being executed. Saving children from going into slavery. Many stories that show how he was active among his people. But he is still active among his people. This is the amazing thing. Saint Nicholas, being holy, is not constrained by the limits of having a body. God allows his saints and delights in his saints taking part still in the world and helping people, responding to their prayers, and sometimes physically assisting them. Most of the time, it is their pure prayers, those delightful odors that are described in the in Revelation, the prayers of the saints, that ascend to God, that assist us when we ask holy ones to pray for us. But it is not unknown at all for holy ones to come to earth and to assist us in the physical realm. I would like you to read you a recent story. It was in the 20s. I suppose by Orthodox timekeeping, that's pretty recent. And to show that St. Nicholas is active among his people. In fact, I'm sure he is active today. Many things that happen we are not aware of. Only a few are written down. And here is one of them. It was nearly a half a century ago that I first heard of this miracle wrought by St. Nicholas. Never had I chanced to read anything about it in the writings of the Church. I would not want this case of the saintly bishop's help to depart to my grave without me. During the mid-40s, 1940s, I can't recall the exact date, I had to spend a night in the city of München, Munich, in West Germany. The city was in ruins after the war, and I would be forced to spend the night outside. Fortunately, there chanced to be a Good Samaritan church house by the city, and I was provided with its address. There were two of us in the room, myself and a man unknown to me, some 40 to 45 years of age. We introduced ourselves, each to the other. I do not remember either his name or his surname, and they probably would not have been real anyway. We had to sleep on wooden benches and chairs. So in order to pass the night more quickly, we fell to talking. I can't remember why, but my collocutor, for some reason or other, asked me whether I was acquainted with the miracle of St. Nicholas that took place in Kiev in the 20s. I did not know of it, and related the following tale to me. In Kiev, at Podol, the northern section of the city, there dwelt an elderly widow with her son and daughter. The old woman dearly loved St. Nicholas, and in all cases of difficulty would go to his church to pray before the image of the saintly bishop, always receiving consolation and the easing of her misfortune. Her son, seemingly a student, became an officer. The governments of the city changed quickly. Whites, Reds, a hetman, a directory, Poles, Germans, etc. All former officers were arrested on the spot, and the old woman's son was among them. His sister rushed about from one department of the time to another. She ran her legs off but achieved nothing. But the old woman ran off to St. Nicholas. Long did she pray before his icon. Then she returned home, consoled. The saintly bishop will help. She sat down to have a spot of tea while her daughter's hand simply fell to her sides. Oh, woe! Her brother had vanished. The son returned home at dawn the following day. Famished, beaten, dirty, weary, according to him, a large group of officers under a strong convoy of guards was being led off to Pechersk. This is a hilly section of the town, opposite from Podol, by the Kiev-Kiev's Lavra. There was a large hippodrome there, where the horse races were held. Beyond it, there is a grove, and rampart trenches had been dug in Peter the first day as a defense against the Swedes. It was in that grove, by the rampart trenches, that the shootings took place. They had come up to the hippodrome when suddenly some little old man or other stepped out from a corner. He approached the convoy commandant and asked, "Where are you taking them?" The commandant replied rudely, "To Duchonian's HQ," which meant in the jargon of the time to be shot. "Go away, old man." The old man left, but in doing so, he took the old woman's son by the hand and said, "Let him go. I know him." Neither the commandant nor the escort guards replied with even so much as a single word, nor did they hinder him. The little old man led the young fellow out around the corner, saying, "Go on home to your mother," and vanished away somewhere. The old woman was overjoyed and immediately set off to thank St. Nicholas. The son wanted to do nothing more than to lie down and have a good long sleep, but his mother took him along with her to the church. He had probably been there on previous occasions, but he had been little interested in anything. The little old woman led him up to the huge image of the saintly bishop. The son turned ashen pale and began to tremble. He could only whisper, "Mother dear, that's the very same old elder that led me to freedom. Wondrous is God in his saints." Many of the details of this tale were precise and animated. Who had my collocutor been? Perhaps he had been speaking of himself. I don't know. And this is from a Russian man in California. It was written down in 1993. So we see that St. Nicholas is among his people and will help his people. We can learn some things from this story. The sister went about looking for secular means to get the release of her brother. None of that was going to work. The mother didn't bother with any of that. She ran to St. Nicholas. So let us, when we have our problems, let us run to St. Nicholas or to another favorite saint or to pray the Akathist or to pray the Jesus prayer with prostrations, to pray, to ask God to help, and God will help us. We live in a very secular age. I'm not convinced really that it's any really more secular than any other age. I think people have always been secular. It's just that we have now the technology to make being secular an art form. But we are not secular. We are Christians. We know that God can abide in his saints. And we also know that God means to abide in all of us, because all of us should be saints. This is not just St. Nicholas we're talking about now. All of us should have God abiding in us. All of us should have courage, should have wisdom, should have holiness, as St. Nicholas did. So let us ask our Holy Father Nicholas to intercede for us, that we would have holiness. Perhaps when we eat, I'll read you another story of St. Nicholas. The image of St. Nicholas is one of, you know, kind of a meek and mild, smiling, balding old man. And he was those things. But he was also stern. We know of the story about him and Arius, when he slapped Arius. That was an offense which caused him to be defrocked, or would have been. Would have been defrocked the next day. You're not supposed to slap another fellow clergyman. But I'm thinking of another story, an amazing story that happened in the 50s in Russia, in which St. Nicholas severely judged a young woman in order for her to find salvation. She would not have found it any other way. So we'll save that one for later because it's longer. But may God, through the intercessions of St. Nicholas, help us in all things. Amen.